Now, this morning, I want to share on the subject of true success. Or true success. True success. True success. You know, the Word of God is all the best gift that God has given to us. Yes, Pastor, you're merciful. God gave us Jesus. But remember that the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. There is power in the Word of God. Today is Be My Guest Sunday, so I want to welcome all our guests, even those of you who are joining online. And at a point in this service, I think we should do something really so that we don't get distracted. Can you give me my phone? Now, are we live? Okay. So it's Be My Guest. I know that some of you, your guests did not come to church. So I want all of us to head to YouTube right now. Head to YouTube, search for Royal Grace Chapel on YouTube. I'm doing just that. That's what I have for my device. This one time you are permitted to do that right now in this service, and we'll put away our phone. Okay. So Royal Grace Chapel. So once you put Royal Grace Chapel on YouTube. So the first thing is, if you have not subscribed, you'll see that you have not subscribed there, right? So what you can do first is click on the subscription button now. Okay, so now don't be distracted, because when you go there, you see other things that want to distract you. Stay focused. So have you seen Royal Grace Chapel on YouTube? Are we all there? Those of you who don't have data, the end of datalessness or datalessness comes to an end in your life today. There shall always be miraculous supply of data for the gospel's sake. Oh, you will not say amen. The reason why some of you have data is that your data is not for the gospel's sake. It's for my personal sake. It's for my selfish sake. It's for my Instagram sake. But I said, those of you who really desire data for the gospel's sake, datalessness ends today in your life as you become an ambassador of Jesus. Okay, so now, you will see that, okay, so have you subscribed? Those of you have not, how many of you have not subscribed before? You have subscribed now, right? How many of you just subscribed now? Those of you who are joining online, we are doing something very special. I know you are there. Now, the next thing is that I want you to now click on the Be My Guest. This is, you see the picture now, and click on the share button now. Now, you are going to do something very special with that share button that you're clicking on. Because oftentimes when you are in church, people don't know you are in church. They don't know that you come to church this early. They used to think that you are still the old same guy or old same sister. So right now that you have clicked on the share button, now share it to every, you see, share it insanely. Share it insane in a radical way you've not shared before. So to all your groups, to family groups, you cannot tell who is going to be touched by what you are doing right now. So share it right now. So share that link, okay? Our team are doing a wonderful job there now. So you are going to click on the share. If you don't know how to share, all right? If you don't know how to share, you will see the share, a button that shows share somewhere there, all right? Okay. Those of you who share who show people how to share, all right, so just click on the three buttons and then click on share. So I've seen somebody who is sharing now. Okay, so I can see some of you when you share. Okay, so have you started sharing now? Or just copy and paste the link in every family group. John, are you sharing? Okay, good, fantastic. All right, you don't look like somebody who was sharing. Omoya, have you shared? Because you don't look like somebody who is sharing. I can see share on your... When you share, I can see it's written on your forehead. It will be written on your forehead. The mark of the gospel. Not the... Share. Oh, you have not shared. You don't look like... I can see the mark on your forehead that you have shared. When I measure you, tell me whether I'm right or wrong. So you have not shared. The choir master have not shared. Or the music director have not shared. So share now. Share now. I'm waiting. Miriam, you are just sharing. Am I right? So you are just share now, because the mark is not on your forehead. This is the mark of the gospel. I must see it on your forehead. Everyone, you must share. You can see right now, even the thing is going on. Now, the other thing you are doing is that don't log out. So you stay there because those of the people you are inviting, when they come, they will see that, okay, some people are there watching. Oh, God, brother, you have not shared. You have shared. How come the mark is not on your head? Share again, because I cannot see the mark on your head. When you share very well, I will see the mark on your head. It's called share. I mean, maybe you only share to one platform. You didn't share more than one. Okay, all right. So share it now. So, and there are only five of you in that place, and we are more than five. Today is Be My Guest Sunday, so I know what I'm saying. How can there be only five people in that place? So there needs to be more than five. I can only see five of you in the place. So there needs to be more than five. And those of you, share to all the platforms in church, everywhere. How many of you have shared to 10 groups? Let me see, you share to about 10 platforms. Because in church alone, you have five. So only one person. This week, you have more than 10 blessings. In the name of Jesus. You have shared more than 10. You are saying you will have more than 10. I'm prophesying you will have more than 10 blessings. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4. You will count 10 blessings this week. Amen. Minimum. Share. Obedience. No, there are 6 of you now in that room. I need minimum of 10. Today is Be My Guest Sunday. So I still need some of you to be part, and you will then leave your device by the side. Today is an evangelistic Sunday. It's an evangelistic Sunday. So it's not something we do. We've not done it before like this. All right? Deborah, you don't believe in sharing because there is no mark at all on your own head. What? You're okay. Okay, yes, yeah, so you must. Okay. All right, God bless you. I can see. Oh, so now I can see only 5 of you are on board online. So I want those of you who is an evangelistic Sunday. So because I need to start now. Okay, so now. So I'm welcoming all those who are just joining, but I still need 5 more people, 5 more to be in this room. Then we are moving. It's a gospel Sunday. It's an outreach Sunday. It's Be My Guest Sunday. So you can invite people virtually. That's what I'm trying to let you know. So in case you have not done any invitation to your guests during the week and the rest, no, you can do it now. You can do it now. You can invite your friends virtually because this is a digital age. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, so when you do that, don't log out because I'm still monitoring as I'm preaching. My phone is here monitoring. So then evangelize by staying in the room. Now, when you see that as I'm talking, some of you will you will see moderators engaging and putting some of the scriptures there so that we can engage more people online. Share to your WhatsApp status if you have not shared to your WhatsApp, if it's possible to do that. Make the link your WhatsApp status, at least for the duration of this service. Amen, amen. Father, bless all those who have obeyed. Bible says that it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Bless all those who are extending their link as an invitation of love. Father, honor your people that have honored your word to reach out to others. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Now, true success, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. To do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What we've just heard is formula for good success, prosperous and good success. And the word of the Lord is saying to us here, he said, the key to true prosperity and success in life is that you must base it on the word of God. In the Old Testament, it's called the law. But it does not really mean the law as in the law of Moses. Because the Bible is referred to in the Old Testament as the prophet and the law. Often that's how they call it. Because the word Bible does not exist then. But in our time, we don't call it the law. We call it the Bible. We call it the word of God. Because we know better. And it says that if you observe, he said, to do according to what is written in the word of God. He said, if this book, this word of God is not departing out of your mouth. In this series between today and next Sunday, I'm going to be teaching on the power of the word of God. But I just want to call it true success today. Because you see, There are different formulas for success in life. But I'm talking about the best way to succeed is to base your formula for success on the word. This is formula for success. And the formula is that this book of the Lord, this Bible should not depart out of your mouth. He said you should meditate, think about it. Chew it on it day and night. He said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. What is success? I want to use an illustration to define what the Bible calls true success or good success. Because when the Bible uses the word good success, it means that it can be bad success. In other words, not that the person is not success, but before God, this is a bad success. Or true success. If there is true success, that means there can be a false success. So how do you define success? I'm going to use two brothers for an illustration. Brother Stephen, please come. Brother Paul, come. I want to just so that I know when you see what success means in life, you will always remember. Face good. Stand like this. Stand behind it. Just stand like that. Okay, so he's wearing ties, so come in front. All right, good. What is success? Okay, good. The root word for the word success is to arrive at your destination. To arrive at a desired destination. Arrive at a desired destination. In fact, if you go and check the etymology of that word, you realize that success is actually from the French word. And is often used by sailors. It was a word that was borrowed from what the sailors use or travelers use. So when you are going on a voyage, all right, on the sea, and the moment the person lands on the shore, if somebody calls him, how far? He said, oh, I have success. I have succeeded. I have success. Why? What the person he can understand, okay, because they travel on the sea those days. There was no air travel. So it means I have arrived at shore. I have gotten to my destination. So when someone gets a ship lands on the shore, that is success. Go and check it. It's amazing. You know, but as what goes on, you know, the different nuances and the communication and what we perceive by the word, you know, changes. But success was actually, that was what success was. That's where it came from. That to arrive at the shore, to arrive at your desired destination, to land at the predetermined point where you choose. So if I set out and say, I'm going to Ikeja. When I get to Ikeja, all right, that is success. What you call that is success. Because why? I started out with Ikeja in view. Now that I've gotten to Ikeja, I've landed at my destination. That is success. With that in mind, what then can we use to say true success or false success? Bad success or good success? The Bible says, you see, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? So, false success is this. If this is my destination, this destination may mean I want to be a pilot. I want to have a family. I want to settle down in life. I want to be married. This destination right here can mean or can stand for anything you imagine. What are the things we want? I want to be a lawyer. I want to be an accountant. I want to be a doctor. Whatever it is that is a destination for you in life, which motivates you to go and learn a trade, to work, to acquire skill, to go to school, to marry, you know, all those things can be put as this brother. So as this young man or young lady or this man or woman starts his life, he wakes up every morning chasing this destination. This is the destination he has in view. So everything he's doing, all that he's living for, is that he wants to arrive at this destination. So eventually, with time, or over time, All right. As he keeps going to school, he acquires a skill. He does. He moves closer. So he's now, he has built a house. That's success. He has bought a car. That's success. He has married. That's success. He has a wife. That's success. Because these are all the things that he has put together in his mind as the best destination. That's where he wants to get to. So eventually, one day in life, this man arrives at this point. Right? He arrives at this point. So at this point, I'm defining success for you. At this point, he has all that he has ever dreamed of. He has all that was in his mind when he was a young man. He has traveled all around the world. He has the best cars. He has many wives. He has children. His children are doing well all around the globe. He has businesses that are being run by people. He is having dividends. So he has lived his life. And this is the destination. This is all that he wanted to be. He's going around cruising in the world. This man, according to the world, is a success. Because everything he wanted to achieve, he set out to achieve in life, he has achieved it. His bank account is full of billions of dollars, pound sterling, euros, nairas. This man is a success. But there is something. Before God, this is not the end point of success. Before God, all that he now has is still not a success. Because you see, if this is success, then dogs are successful. Goats are successful. Chickens are successful. There is something that makes us different as human beings. There is something that stands us out because we are created in the image of God after his likeness. So if success only ends you all at the point of earthly achievement, you have failed. True success is this. Even though he has everything, he went further to this point. This is another destination. You see, this is success. But this is good success. What is the difference between this point and this point? This point in his life, all he can boast of is earthly achievements. All he can boast of is success based on human criteria. Destination, he's a celebrity. All he or she can boast of is the wealth, is the fame, is the fortune. He has good money. He has all that he needs to have. She has everything she needs to have. She's married, the children. This is what the world calls success. But before God, anyone that arrives at this point alone and misses this point has failed. Only has what we call false, bad success. Because this point is what we call the God points. The God point is this. You have money, but you have God. You have cars, but you have God. You have houses, and you still have God. You have clothes, and you still have God. You have all the wealth, but you see, the ultimate thing is this. You have God. Any success that stops at this point is bad success. Success that causes you, that blocks you from reaching the God point, has made you a failure in life. So you see, what is happening right now is this. Can I have another set of brothers, please? What is happening about the world's definition of success? Can I have two more brothers? What is happening with the world's definition of true success is this. Let me show you. Is that, come. Everything the world calls success is that, is to magnify earthly achievement before your eyes. Everything the world calls success is that, you see, because at this point he has achieved this, but that because there is a longing in his heart, why should rich people commit suicide? I wouldn't have all the cars. Because you see, when they have all this, you see, there is more. Then there is more. There is more. So the aim of the devil is, Let me make his eyes that when he wakes up in the morning, he sees the guy with the shade. He sees that this is dark shade. This is transparent one. And I like this one. This is no shade. So you see, when he arrived at the point, he realized that he doesn't have another, he needs to go for another success. You know, let me have a transparent shade, a see-through one. After some time, he will no longer be satisfied with this. You know, he started out with no shade. All right? No, guys, stand like this. Let them see what I'm saying. He started out with no shade. But having achieved all, there is a long game. So I need to do more in life. So he has acquired another shade here. This one, transparent. But after some time, what do you think he's going for? He's going for no shade. Now, you see, all through the life of that young man or that young lady, even when he gets at this point, he will still continue to go. Why? Because you see, success does not end with all these earthly achievements. This is the final destination of what the world defines as success. But you see, everything in this world is with one aim, so that you can keep seeing them and not see what lies ahead. You see, between them and that man behind is eternity. Between them and that man behind is a stop at this point and you're okay. But a child of God must know that whatever I do here that is depriving me of relationship with God is false success. Whatever I do at this junction, I have bought a car. I have my first class degree. I have traveled around the world. I have the best family. My children are doing well. Brother, if all that is all that you can boast of, you have stopped at the wrong bus stop in life. Because success is that coupled with all this, you always know that you should never stop at that point. Build relationship that last. This is the true destination. God's destination is the true meaning of success in life. If you stop at this point in life, the world will praise you. They will celebrate you. They will clap for you. They will invite you for symposiums, conferences. Because you see, you have all that everybody dreams of. But you see, at that point, that man, anything you have here that makes you stop here and not have him has made you fail in life woefully. This is how the devil wants you to live your lives. In other words, leave it chasing after all this and just put God at the back. But what is true success? You must know. Please come to the front. True success starts with a relationship with God. Before you go for this, if you want to succeed in life, you don't wait until you have all the money before you now begin to look for God. You look for Him first. True success is to have God first and let every other thing follow. That's true success. That's true success. The greatest destination, the best destination in life is that you can look at yourself. Because if not everybody may have the dark shade. The world may say you are a failure because you don't have dark shade. Not everyone may have the transparent one, glass. Because the world may look at you and say, hey, because you don't have this, you are not successful. And not everyone can have this too. But every man, regardless of who you are, you can have this. You can have this. When you have this, a man called Lazarus in Luke 16, he had this, but he did not have this. He had this, but all these were absent in his life. So the world rejected him. But before God, it was a success. Because he had the greatest thing in life. He refused to push him that let me finish my school before I go after God. When I marry, then I will have time for God.
When I buy that my Land Cruiser, I will have time for God. So you see, when the world looks at you, they are struggling to see your God. They are struggling to see your God. They see you as a successful businessman. They see you as a successful politician, but they cannot see the God factor in your life. You are a failure before God. You are a failure before God. God comes first. The greatest foundation. Every other thing follows. In other words, a successful person puts God first. See, every of these guys are now following him. Money is following him. In other words, money cannot take me away from God. Cars cannot take me away from God. Career cannot take me away from God. Marriage cannot take me away from God. True success is to have a solid relationship with the one that matters most, more than all these other ones. The question is, do you have that? Do you have that? Those of you at home, do you have that? I pray that as I share the word of God with you today on how to attain true success in life, that every wrong priority that has taken you away from God will be reordered appropriately today. Amen. I pray for you today that as I share the word of God with you this morning, that you will not live a foolish life. You will not live a life of deception, but you will live a life that brings glory to your Maker. Put your hand together for my wonderful brothers. Thank you. Hallelujah. How do you attain to true success in life? Now we know the foundation of the word of God is that. But what will it do for you? What will it do for you? Number one, true success. The measurement of true success. How do you measure true success in life? Number one is to love the Lord. To love God. To love God. To love God. Mark chapter 12 verse 30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart," NKJV, "with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Loving God is success. Your heart must burn for God. My brother, if you don't love God, you are a failure. True success is to love God. It's to love God with not part of your heart, but the whole of your heart. Not part of your soul, but the whole of your soul. Not part of your mind, but the whole of your mind. God is what you think of. You think more than God and you think of money. Your heart is fixed on him, not part of your strength, but with the whole of your strength. With the whole of your strength. He's the one that you burn for. This is how the devil does not want you to live your life like this. He says, "Hey, young man, go after other things." How do you know what is love for God? You know, for different people, love means different things. Some people, love means cook for me. For some people, love means sex. For some people, love means let's travel around the world. For some people, love means what? Buy me a car. For some people, love means give me money. But what is real love? What does love mean to God? Well, let's look at how God defines love. John chapter 14, verse 20. How does God see love? What is the definition of love before God? John 14, verse 20 says, "In that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you." Verse 21. "He who has my words, my commandment, and keep them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and I will disclose myself to him." Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and put and make our home, make our residence with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words." Are you seeing that? No, is somebody seeing that right now? No, is somebody seeing that right now? He said, "He who does not love me, Frank, are you writing something? Is Frank writing something there?
Okay, is he writing? Okay, because I saw his head down. Okay. He who does not, let me see your head up, please. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Love before God is obedience. You prove to love God by obeying him. Obedience. That's what matters to God. Obedience. Obedience. And not the obedient party, right? But obedience. Okay? This is the real obedience. Obedience to God is love. So you see, for instance, God says to you, hey, I want you to preach in the vehicle, as you are going to work. Now you put your feeling before you say, you know, I don't know how to preach. You know, I don't know what to say. You see, do you know that where there is love, you always have something to say? Oh, haven't you seen those who are in relationship always calling every day? Having something to test about? Sometimes even things that are irrelevant. What have you eaten today? As if you are the chef. What have you eaten today? They say, where are you now? As if you are the bodyguard. Where are you now? Huh? Are you okay? Are you happy? Just to keep the communication line going. And you see, when you see people who are in marriage or serious relationship, one of the things that they are angry about is, you don't call me. You have not tested me for some time. How can you say you love me and you are not calling me? You are not reaching out to me. You are not saying this. No, that is not for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. You have not said anything. Hey! You say that instantly the person can get a sack letter. I'm not doing again. This is not the kind of relationship I want. Do you know that perhaps God has given some of us sack letter a long time ago? Yeah. Because for some of us, we don't pray anymore. No time for God. You wake up in the morning, the only thing on your mind is work, work, work. And God will say, hey, you claim to love me. You don't test me anymore. You don't call me anymore. You don't phone me anymore. No more gifts from you. Excuses upon excuses. Then you come to church and say, I love you, Lord. I'm sure that if angels are like me, if some of us can see how many times angels have slapped us, perhaps. But you see, some of you felt the wind blowing. It was because your angel is saying, shut up. But because it's not physical, you just feel the wind. So I feel the presence of God in this place. No, you think it's the presence of the Lord. It's actually a slap of angel. That wind is angel saying, shut up. The whole week, not 10 minutes before God. The whole week, you wake up 6 a.m., came back 9 p.m., no message with God. The whole week, no opening of the Bible. You don't test God. You don't love God. You don't worship. You can't even remember how come you say you are a child of God and you have no new song has come to God. In the last 1 year, you have the only song you have been singing is Good Morning, Jesus, Good Morning, Lord. I know you come from heaven above. The Holy Spirit sits on the throne. So every day, God in your own life is this Amala and Ewedu, your God is like an idol. You just give good morning, Jesus. Then even you yourself, you know the next song. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will. Oh, am I telling somebody's number? Hey! And you say you love God. Even the girl you want to marry will not accept that sacrifice from you. Every day, you just say, I love you. Every day, I love you. Every day, I love you. After some time, you say, is that the only thing you have to say? Because you need to say more things. Where there is true love, there is creative words. Oh, you've not sent some text messages before. I looked around the world and there is no skeletal love like your skeletal
love in my life. The metamorphosis of your love has transitioned my heart from beating at 6 BPM to 120 BPM. At the thought and remembrance of thy name, my heart leaped for joy within me. Ish! And you are there. You don't have any words to say to God. Then, Lord, you are the lily of the valley. Even lily self you have not seen before. You don't know how lily looks like. Talk less of a valley. You are in Lagos here. You don't know what lily is like or valley is like. I say, Lord, you are the lily of the valley. What is a lily? No, what is a lily? There you go. Rose of Sharon. You see, where can you imagine me calling you, hello, babe? You are the rose of Sharon. You are the lily of the valley. You know, meanwhile, you have not traveled beyond Lagos. You don't even know lily. You don't know rose. You don't know. You have not seen the only rose you know is that lady that is just by the side of your house. That's the only rose you have seen in your life. Am I preaching? Let's become real lovers. If you love God, you will look back and say, Lord, hey, my life was useless before I met you. Lord, I mean, I don't have much words to say, but I want you to know that you are everything to me. Then the Lord says, so you know, as you are going out this morning, this is your customer. I sent him to you so that you can preach to him. You will not have an excuse. Where there is love, one of the ways you will know you love God is that you are willing, if you are ready to obey him at the detriment or in a way that will even embarrass you. Let me put it that way. The problem is that those who have self-preservation don't obey God. Because they always think of what people will say or what people will think about them. How they look before men. The reason why some of you have not gone deep into the love of God is that if you have done what God asked you to do, maybe when you are worshiping, say, kneel down. Say, no, I just did my pedicure. How can I kneel down? You know, my skin. And that, you know, people will look at me like that. No. So you choose to just lift your hand. Meanwhile, he's saying, hey, kneel down. Do you realize that some of us, we have never rode before the Lord before? Even in your own private place, you have not rode. Because you say, you are a big boy now. So the angel cannot move and say, prostrate before me. Go and check. Bible says, David said, I will prostrate before you, oh God. I will prostrate before you, Lord. I will roll. I'm telling you, in my time as a pastor, those who prostrate before God are often the older generations. Go and check. The younger ones, self-deceit of hubris born of nothing. You can't prostrate before the Lord in worship. Oh Lord, hey, here I am to worship. We don't prostrate anymore. Is somebody with me? Because you see, our designer clothes matters to us more than God. Even a cloth that you have just bought, a used cloth that you have just gone to starch and make look as if it's nice. You yourself know that you took that cloth from under the bridge and you paid nothing. Now, even that cloth now has become so precious that to prostrate before God is a problem for you. To prostrate before your maker. God cannot tell you to prostrate. So you will worship like an Iroko tree. You will see some people when they are worshiping, they don't move from the circle. It's called imaginary circle of deception. So what is the imaginary circle of deception? You see, they put a circle around them when they are worshiping God. So all their worship will not. Go and check if you have been in church. They are Iroko worshippers who don't worship beyond. They will just move like this. This is how they move. Go and check. You move. Lift your hand and worship God. Go and shake your neighbor. It is their neighbor that will come and shake them. They are a Iroko tree. He said, I will be established forever. So they don't move. They shake like this. Hello, 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 hello. You see, that imaginary circle of deception will not let them move for the Lord. But I pray for you today that you fall in love with God afresh. Oh, I pray that nothing will take the place of the love of God. Obedience to God. Obedience to God. What is love for God? What is the expression of love for God? It's putting him first. Putting God first. If you want to love God, I'm telling you, this afternoon, be ready to obey him. Hey, go and preach. You preach. Lay hands on the sick. You lay hands on the sick. The reason why some of you have never prayed for any sick person is because you think that you are the one that will heal them. But obedience is what causes the power of God to flow. Then the next one is to learn to put him first. Put God for Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness means living right with God. Live, you know, in other words, you are living your life the way God wants you to live it. Righteousness does not mean that you have never sinned before. It's a gift. Right standing. You are doing the things that are right before God. That is righteousness. So often that people think, when she says you are righteous, that means you have never committed a sin before. No. It's not by works. It's the gift of God. He has made us right with God. So you are now doing the things that are right, not necessarily with men, but with God. That is what it means to live a righteous life. To do the things that God approves of. To live your life in such a way that the things you are doing, why are you doing this? Because it pleases God. Why are you doing it? Because it's right in the sight of God. Why are you going to church every morning? Because it's the right thing for me to do. God asked me to do it. It says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things. You see, true success. Give me Matthew 6:33, guys. You see, all other things. Every other thing. All these things. What are all these things? Everything you ever imagine. Everything you ever dream of. Everything your heart ever longs for. Everything that you can ever imagine. All the material things. He said it will be added. You know, God has the best. Bible said that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. God is not a God of poverty. God has the very best. But he said he wants to be the one to add it to you. If you put him first, he said he will add every other thing to you. Yes. Every other thing. When I look at my life. You know, the last Sunday, I think, I don't know where I was when I was telling that. I used to work in the dung hill. The one, see, there's a dung hill where you are at Penn Cinema. I don't know whether it's still there. But that estate, go and find out. It used to be a dung hill, just like you have here. That is, each time I come to your place, I don't just tell you. That is where I used to work. In fact, the day I came, I told my wife, your gate man, the guy that is the gate man at that NNPC, I have known that guy. He's been there. Go and find out what I'm about to say, because I see somebody who he's not working in the dung hill. Don't think he's working in the dung hill. His office is around. There's no dung hill there anymore. But the day I came and I saw the gate man at your filling station, all right, I told my wife, I said, this guy, I know him. He's been washing car here now for over 15 years. He's been there for, down your filling station, they will not recognize me again. But I used to, 18 years ago, 20 years ago, that guy, especially that gate man now, is an elderly man. Go and check. He's been there for over 18 years. But he will not recognize me. I recognize him. The day he came to open the gate, I said, hey, because I was fighting to do association for them to make those people in that place, the car wash guys, to form an association. Because, see, opposite here was I on the dung hill. I'm the official photographer for the dung hill association. I made all the malams and every one of them form an association on that dung hill. There used to be a dung hill at Tota. That place is not an empty, it's a Tota filling station. It used to be Tota filling station. Go and find out. It's good when you are telling the truth. He walks around here. That's like I can give him. But you see, the day I came, because this time around I went with my Jeep, and I'm a pastor now. So I had to form. But as I look back, I said, Lord, you see, you have brought me back here. And I looked opposite. That's the dung hill. I used to be on that dung hill. But you see, if today I look so touched, it's because even whilst I was at the dung, on top of the dung hill, I didn't forget God. I did not allow poverty or prosperity to take the place of God in my life. When it is evening time, I will never miss church service. I was so dedicated in the church I was attending that even though I was not a full-time staff of the church, the pastor of the church and his team they decided that this guy is the one that we should give the church key to. I was holding a church of over 500 people. I was holding the church key. Why? Because they know that I always come early. No church has ever paid me 50 kobo for doing anything for the Lord. In my life, I'm telling you. In my life. But yet, I will come early. Open the church. Leave Agege here from the dung hill. Pay my way back. Listen, my wife told me that one of the reasons why she married me, like, she knew that I was the one for her, was when she came to my office now in Computer Village, all right, and one day we were together, and it was around 5. I said, we have to stop this meeting now. She said, well, I said, I have a fellowship in Ojodu. Ikeja to Ojodu is a far place. I said, I have a fellowship in Ojodu I must go and attend to now. And he said, and she thought that maybe the thing was so we took a bike. And when I carried my bag, I was running because my fellowship ought to start by 5 o'clock. And when I got to that fellowship, she said she was surprised that when I began to gather my fellowship members, bankers, lawyers, doctors, they were seated. But there is only one thing. All of them have not banked before. All of them have not treated enemy. They were potential bankers and lawyers because they were still in their 12 years, 11 years, 10 years, 9 years, 8 years. These were my fellowship members. Those were the people that were committed into my hand. Even computer success could not take it away from me. Success in computer could not take it away from me. Yes. Oh, you see, if I have been a failure, you would think that, oh, maybe it's because he has no money. God has blessed me. And only few people can boast that they've been doing one business for over 20 years. I have done computer for over 20 years from the days of Windows 93, 95, 97. Anybody in that generation that is still around and successful today, bring them out. I'm not saying there are, but there will be only few. But I had wisdom that, you see, we were installing Microsoft Word. We will charge for Microsoft Word. We will charge for Microsoft Excel separately. We CorelDRAW separately. We charge per eSoft. We were making money. But in the midst of the money, no money could take even a fellowship of children away from me. Put God first. You, only school now has taken God away from you. School has taken God away from you, and you claim to love God. You claim to love God. Work has taken God away from you. So you go in the morning, you are so tired. So why are you not there? Say, because, you know, I was out. Even online, you cannot join online. But the same you are looking for somebody to give you credit to join the service online, can also be there on Instagram watching useless and all that thing. You're spending your money to watch pornography. But you will not spend, when it comes to the things of God, you have excuses. Put God first. I said, we should do what? I said, you should do what? Put God first. You will see how your life. See, me, no power could have delivered me from the dung hill and set my feet on a rock to stay. But Jesus did it. Jesus did it. No father sent me to, my father did not send me to an institution. The only thing my father, the last time I think my father spent money with me will be on GSS 3. That time but see, I've schooled in Nigeria, I've schooled in US. At least I've done. I've traveled to so many countries. This same guy who was a donkey, who could have done that? I don't forget. So the day I came and I saw somebody I knew 20 plus years ago who was a car wash person. He has now graduated to be the chief gatekeeper, the gateman of the place. After 20 years, he's still in the same place. The same place I left him 20 years ago. The person, I have a witness, he works in this place. I could not tell him the day I came to his office that your gate man used to work in the car wash and he's been in this place for over 20 years. I'm telling you because I know that it's over 20 years now. When I saw the guy, hey, this guy, he has become older now. He's the one coming to open gates for me. Then I realized that if ever I think that it was because I'm smart, I could have been him. The difference between him and me was that 20 years ago, he was busy chasing money and did not have God. 20 years ago, I was chasing money, but you see, I never let the go of God. I never let any excuse took me away from God. 20 years after, two people in the same place, one is still dead, the other is driving a Jeep in. 20 years after, who could have done that? Who could have done that? So you are telling me, okay, what are you saying everybody's story like that? But let me tell you, anything you can boast of that does not include God, you are a failure. Because God is the ultimate thing in life. It's the ultimate thing in life. Put God first. Look at what Jesus said. This one, most parents don't like this scripture. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. I'm reading the words of Jesus to you. Oh, are you still here? Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life. I said, people don't like this kind of scripture because it looks as though Jesus is an extreme person when you read this kind of scripture. But he said, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your own father, your own mother, sweet mother, and no go forget you for this suffer. Hey, you think your mother suffer? But you are in your life, you have never said, sweet Jesus, I know, go forget. Because you see, just this one that your mother paid your school fees, gave birth to you, is something before you. But what about Jesus who died for you? Who bled for you? To you, is nothing. To us, Jesus is nothing. And he said, if you don't hate all those people, then he said, even if you don't hate your own life, say you cannot. Say with me, you cannot. It does not like competition. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot. Say with me, you cannot. Matthew went on to explain what Jesus meant. But Luke felt that he needs to come in, because Luke was writing to unbelievers, the Gentiles. Matthew wrote to the Jews. But Luke needed to the Gentiles to understand what he was saying. But look at the way Matthew wrote the same thing to the Jews. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew 10, 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me. Matthew 10, 37. If I have people who are behind the scripture, they are not very fast, I think then we should have a faster person there, all right? He who loves father or mother more than me is not what? Worthy of me. You don't deserve Jesus. Jesus loves you, you don't deserve me. You mean you love this girl more than me? You love your work more than me? The reason why you are giving excuses as to why you cannot serve God is because you say, you don't deserve my death. I don't deserve to die for you. He said, it's not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's not worthy of me. Then what is the next one he said? What's the next one? Verse 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow me. So the question is, what do you love more than Jesus? If you want true success in life, you must always love him more. Say with me, more love. Say with me, more love. John chapter 21, verse 15. One day Jesus was eating. He was about to go. The last words of Jesus. And he was eating. John 21, verse 15. He was eating with his disciples. Then he saw the way Peter was enjoying the meat and was tearing the meat. Oh, ha! He was eating the suya. You know, he loved the suya meat and the rest. So he was so happy. So Jesus looked at the buffet that they were enjoying, because see, this guy, they love food. So he said, so when they had eaten, he waited for them to finish eating. When they had what? Oh, are you sure you are here? Yes, sir. I said, when they had what? They finished eating. Then he looked at it and said, Jesus said to Simon Peter, said, Simon, Ogasa, Yes, sir.
Simon.
Yes, sir.
Said, do you love me more? Now, the question is not that he doesn't love God. Most of us claim to love God. The question is, do you love me more? Because there are signs that will show that you love God more. 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 Do you love me more than these? Today, Jesus is asking you that same question. Do you love me more? Do you love me more? Do you love me more than your career? Do you love me more than your business? Do you love me more than your family? There are times I had to show God that I love God more than my children. I remember one day I was going for a vigil and my children said, Daddy, are you going again? And they all came out beside my car. We are the works of your hand. Are you going again? Because you see, I just came to change. Now I'm going. See, they say, are you going again? I say, I gotta go. I gotta go. Daddy had to go. And as I was driving, something with that, you are not caring for these children. I said, no. So I have to come up with what I call family day every Monday, where I spend time with them. I said, we'll go out. Even that one said, I fight to make it happen. But you see, so one day, I took my children to my in-law's place. I think it was on a Saturday. Was it Saturday or something? No, we slept Friday. Then we slept over. We were supposed to have family dinner Saturday morning. Because it was family breakfast. It was my father-in-law's birthday something like that. So we're supposed to have family breakfast. No, I think it was their great-grandma's birthday. So we're supposed to have family breakfast in the morning of that. So we slept over, we all gisted, we had great time on Friday night. Saturday morning, I realized that the breakfast was not going to happen by 7 a.m. And every Saturday we do outreach in church from 7 to 8. So I left quietly in the morning. I left them and went. Later that day when I came to pick them, so my father-in-law asked me, so where did you go to? So, because you see, this time around, I didn't tell anybody where I went. So I said, oh, I went to church. But someone said, hey, your daughter knows you better. I said, what happened? He said, when we woke up and we checked that you were not in your room, so we said, oh, your daddy has gone home to sleep. I said, no, my daddy cannot go home to sleep. He has gone to church. She didn't call me. She said, my daddy has no, my own daddy, the one that I know. Saturday morning. He can't, because even in the house, they know I will not sleep on Saturday morning. So he has gone to church. So my father-in-law wanted to really confirm. So he asked me without telling me what they have said. So all of them said the same thing. When people at work don't see you, maybe Tuesday evening, where would they say you have gone to? No, ask us. You claim you are a child of God. When they don't see you at work, where would they say you are? Because as for you, nobody knows you with Jesus. Your Jesus is a wardrobe Jesus. When people don't see you, where would they say you are? When they are looking for you Sunday morning, where would they say you are? You know, one of the problems people have with me is how we do our Sundays. And do you know our philosophy in this church? You are a Christian. You are leaving your house Sunday morning, and somebody would say, Eko, just see me. You know, that was happy resting day. Because to them, Sabbath day is go to church, come back, eat, sleep, and be happy. So that means when God said on the seventh day, God rested, that means God was taking coffee and cappuccino. God made a bed in heaven. You know, God made a bed in heaven and he was resting. Serious Christian, if people greet you that Eko Ojo Simi, you don't say hey, thank you. You say no. My own Sunday is Eko Ojo Ise because it's the day I work for God. Yes, you have a problem with that. Jesus, you must have something that shows you love God more. Monday to Saturday, you work for your career. Monday to Friday, you work as a banker. Saturday, you do other things. Then you don't have any day in your life that is dedicated to serving God. You don't have any day that is dedicated to the service and the stewardship of God. And you, all you want to do is give only 3 hours and you call that one love? No. That means you love your banking job more than you love God. Sunday should be a full working day for God. Yeah. We must take back Sunday for God. I said we must take back Sunday for God. So it's a Sabbath day, the day that points us to God. That is Sabbath. You see, you do every other thing, chase money, chase everything. But Sabbath means the day that you rest from your earthly labor and focus on your stewardship, on your love, on your commitment to God. That is true Sabbath. That is true Sabbath. Now that you tell me you have gone to church, you are sleeping the whole Sunday when there are people in your house who don't even know the Lord. Then Monday you see them 4 a.m. They are on their way to work for the things they truly love. 5 a.m. They are leaving their house. Do you love me more? Say with me, more.
More.
I will end with a story. A man during World War II married a lady called Margarita. Say with me, Margarita. So as, you see, you know, I remember when we were joking in our meeting and somebody told L.M. James that what if the rapture comes before Saturday? And he said, well, if the rapture comes, I will make sure that we, for our sake, there will be marriage in heaven or something. We have to, this one, after all, rapture wants to come now. And I've heard Christians pray that rapture should not come before their wedding day. Do you love God more than that? So, ask Margarita and the lover boy just finished saying, I do. And they said, okay. Then they went for honeymoon. From the place of the honeymoon, they called him. Charlie, it's time to go for World War. We are doing D-Day invasion of Germany. We need more men. So, he left Margarita at the honeymoon. Day one of honeymoon. Hey, say Margarita. And he entered into the ship. And he went. So he took the picture of Margarita along. When they got to Germany, as they began, if you go and check the film, D-Day film, you understand. The German soldiers were firing. Bah, 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 bah. But this guy, he will roll. Bah, 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 bah. Then when the bullet flew, he will pick up the picture again. Margarita. You see, whenever it's as big, when they look at the picture, they will pick the gun and say, like those, firing all the enemies. And one day, as they were firing, you know, he thought he was just born. And, you know, then he would get tired again. As he's about to relax, then he remember, it's only one day I have spent. And Margarita is waiting for me. Pick up the picture again. Margarita! Carry the gun! Bah, bah. Eventually, they caught him. When they caught him, they took him to jail. They maltreated them very well. And his colleagues were being tortured to death. Several times after they tortured him, when he's about to die, he will just close his eyes and he will see Margarita smiling. So from the, as they are beating him, he starts smiling. Margarita. Bah, Margarita. Bah, bah, Margarita. Bah, Margarita. So Margarita love kept him alive. When they locked them up in jail without food, when his colleagues were dying, without food, as he's about to die, he said, "Hey, Margarita." So eventually, after World War II, he was released. Packed his bag and said, "Ma, what?
Margarita,
I'm coming for you."
He boarded the ship back to Germany. Or wherever he was. No. He came to Germany, so he's now gone back to wherever he has come from. When he got there, landed on shore, going looking at his village. When he saw the house in front, everywhere has changed. He stood there. Margarita. Margarita. Jumped again. Jumped again. Jumped again. Went. Got to the front of the house. And began to knock. Bah, bah, bah. Then he would shout. Margarita! Johnny boy is here. Bah, 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 bah. Margarita, I'm back home. There was silence. He knocked again. Bah, bah, bah. Bah, 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 bah. Margarita! Margarita! But he could see that the door was locked from behind. He could perceive the aroma of Margarita, the scent of Margarita, the perfume of Margarita. So he knew that Margarita was there. So finally, he heard his footstep coming toward the door. Wow, he adjusted. Margarita is coming. Like a gentleman, he stayed, waiting to embrace Margarita. I know when they moved near, you could see the shadow coming from the door. Bah! And the shadow was becoming bigger and bigger. Ha! He knew that shape. This must be Margarita. So finally, of a truth, the door was opened. And do you know who he saw? No, do you know who he saw? Yes, you are right. Margarita was the one he saw. He had goosebumps and everything. Ha! Margarita! He shouted. But just as he jumped to hug the wife he had lived for, he survived everything for. Just as he wanted to jump, do you know what Margarita did? Margarita just said, "Stop!" He thought it was a joke. Maggie! Me! What is happening? It's Johnny boy! Are you not happy? So he attempted the second time. Mag! He said, "Stop!" He was shocked. Margarita! You don't know me again? It's me. I'm only going to war. He tried for the third time. Maggie! Stop! Margarita said, looked at him from top to bottom. Bah! Margarita closed the door, banged the door, and walked away. He stood there aghast. So he could not believe what had just happened, but he felt he was dreaming. So he decided to knock again. Margarita, open the door. Margarita, I will push the door. Margarita, I will not go. And again, just as the first time, saw the shadow coming again. Baka. Say, "Huh? I know." So he had a better plan this time around. Then immediately he opened the door. I will just jump and hug her by force. Maybe she didn't know. So as Margarita came, the shadow was becoming bigger, bigger. And the door opened. Immediately the door opened. As he wanted to jump at Margarita, guess what happened? Do you know what happened? It was not a stop this time around. It was not a stop. I will finish in second service. Stand to your feet.
I'll finish my story.
But I should finish it for you now. Lift your hands and say, Lord Jesus, take your place in my life. I don't want to ever disappoint you again. Honestly, I just want you to pray and talk to God. Do you love God more than this? Do you love God more than this? Do you love God more than this? God deserves the number one spot. God deserves the rightful place in our lives. He asked Peter the same question he's asking you. Lovest thou me more than this? Come and take your place, O Lord. Come and take your place, O Lord, in my life. Come and take your place in my life. Come and take your place. Come and take, come on. Come and take your place, oh Lord. Come and take your place, oh Lord. In my life, come and take your place. There's a special place in your life that belongs to God. There's a special place in your heart that belongs only to God. Come and take your place, oh Lord. Come and take, come and take your place, oh Lord, in my life. Come and take your place in my life. Come and take your place.
Now listen to me as we sing that song one more time. I want to remind you, there's a place in your life that only belongs to God. It does not belong to any other thing but God. It's called the special place. It's called the holiest of holies of your heart. It's called the place of your passion. It's called the place of your burning love. It's called the place that nothing else can compete with. That is the place I'm asking you to surrender back to God. That is a place that belongs to our God, our Creator. The place that no work can take away from you. The place that no career, no marriage can take away from you. The place that no earthly concern can take away from you. David said, as the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. That is the place that no pressure of life can take. And that's the place the devil is fighting to be. So I want you to rededicate yourself. Lord, take your place. There's a place that is dedicated only for you in my life. I can lose the world, but I cannot lose that place. I want you to just sing that song again as we give it to him. It's time to give him that place again. It's time to take back your first love. It's time to take back your commitment. It's time to take back your passion for God. It's time to go the extra mile. To go the extra mile for God. Come on, let's go. Come and take your place. A place, oh Lord, in my life. In my life. Come and take your place in my life. Come and
sing it. Come and take your place, oh Lord. Yes, come and take your place, oh Lord. In my life, in my life, come and take. My life, come and take your place.
Now, can you just turn into prayer and say, Lord, nothing else in my life can be compared to you. Today, Lord, I fill me afresh with your love. Pray for the love of God afresh in your heart. I want you to pray, Lord, help me to love you more. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, to love you, God, more than every other thing in my life. More than my career, more than every excuses that have taken me away from God. I love God more than the pressures of life, more than the excuses. When it comes knocking, I don't want to say no to him anymore. Oh, yes. Let that be your prayer. Let that be your prayer. That I will love you more. Oh Lord, help me to love you more. More, more. Oh, more.
Oh, take your place in my life, Lord. Take your place in my life. Take your place in my life.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to pray for you wherever you are. My time is really up. You have joined online or in person. You want to rededicate your life to him. You want to say, Lord, when I look at my yesterday, it's obvious that I had more fire yesterday than I have today. When you look at your life, you realize that there are so many excuses that are keeping you from serving God. Those are deception of the devil. It's a trap from hell to keep you from giving God that special place. When you look at it today, you realize that you are more committed to earthly things than you are to the things of God. Oh, my sister, that's a deception. But today we are taking back our love for God. We are taking back our passion for God. We are taking back our commitment for God. We can do more. He has brought us this far. He has brought us this far. Ha, ha, ha. So whenever you are, I want to say, rededicate your life to God. I want to say, Pastor, I want a burning love again. I don't want to have a better yesterday with God. My today should be far better. My commitment to God today should far outweigh my yesterday. Place your right hand on your chest. I want to pray for you. If you're like that, just place your right hand on your chest. God bless you. I know some of you are really desiring that restoration. Rebodo shatabaya. Aha. God is saying, I sense someone saying, Lord, I'm saying yes to your call. And you know it in your heart. I just felt someone saying, Lord, I'm saying yes. Yes to your call. Yes to your call. Yes to your call. Yes to your call. No more excuses. Place that hand on your chest. I want to pray for you. Father, I want you to repeat this word. Say, my Father.
My Father.
Here I am. Today, I remove. I dethrone.
I pull down.
Every other thing that has taken your special place in my life. I rededicate my strength.
I rededicate my mind.
I rededicate my soul.
I rededicate my heart.
To loving you. My Father. My God. Above all else.
Here I am.
Fill me.
Afresh.
With a burning love.
A burning passion.
For you, my Maker.
Today,
I say with all my heart,
my Father God
is number one. I will live for him.
I will die for him.
All that I am
and I ever hope to be
belongs to God.
Belongs to God.
And to him alone
will I give my very best.
Father,
Thank you.
Thank you.
For a fresh fire.
For a fresh fire.
Even as I
rededicate myself
to you again.
To you again.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I thank you for every one of us. As many who have answered your call to give you the very best. No more excuse. Oh, precious Father. We are a people that is committed to loving you more. For what is success in life without God? So, Lord, I ask, oh God, that you cause our heart to burn for you, Lord. Set every heart ablaze. Let everyone know that we are falling in love with Jesus afresh. Thank you, Lord. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I have ever done. Thank you, Lord, because falling in love with you is the best thing that we have ever done. And Lord, we ask that your love will burn afresh in our hearts, even from this moment. I pray for this one that we will rise up to take our place in the body of Christ. I pray, Lord, for everyone that will rise up to do more for you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Shout aloud.